Session.
I just want to start out by saying I have a homework assignment. It's not mandatory, though, but it should be fun if you choose to accept. But before I get to that, I want to just say a little bit about water. And there's a Zen poem that says, "In the night, dewdrops gather on the leaves, and in the morning they fall into the lake without any fuss." Without any fuss. And the Heart Sutra says, "Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Form is exactly emptiness, and emptiness is exactly form." So this intimate relationship is a simultaneous relationship. And this relationship also exists without any fuss. And I think we all know where the fuss comes from. It's right above our neck. That's where the fuss is created. So if we pay attention to water, we will see that it's a remarkable metaphor for the relationship between form and emptiness. So originally, water is empty. It has no form. But at the same time, it has a capacity to assume a myriad of forms. So at the same time, it's water, but it's also a myriad of forms. You know, so water can be a mountain lake, can be a dewdrop on an oak leaf, a glass of lemonade, or an icicle hanging from the roof just outside your bedroom window. It can also express itself as a solid, such as an ice cube, as a liquid, like tap water, like filling the bathtub, or a gas, like clouds obscuring the evening sunset. In spite of its various forms, it is still fundamentally water, which is intrinsically empty or non-form. At the same time that water is empty, it can be form, right? And those two things exist simultaneously. And there's no fuss about it. It just is. It's just the way it is. And that's just the way our life is. Isa wrote, "From the white dewdrops, learn the way to the pure land." It's all there in that white dewdrop. Now, Dogen, as I've mentioned before, uses intimate language. And when you read Dogen for the first time, it's very confusing. But his language is not designed or is not expressed to offer an answer. It's actually an expression. So we don't go to it. Typically we go to, we read a paragraph or we read a newspaper or we read a book. We're expecting to get some form of information, some form of explanation. Right? And that's the way it is. But Dogen is merely expressing the way. He's not offering any answers. I suppose with a little bit of luck, he's offering the opportunity of a direct experience. So Dogen uses water as a metaphor in a slightly different way than I've been describing. He writes, "Enlightenment is like the moon reflected on the water. The moon does not get wet, nor is the water broken. Although its light is wide and great, the moon reflects even in a puddle an inch wide. The whole moon and the entire sky are reflected in dewdrops on the grass, or even in a single drop of water. Each reflection, however, long or short its duration, manifests the vastness of dewdrops and realizes the limitlessness of the moonlight in the sky." Now, to understand, if that's the right word, what he's talking about, you have to listen with your body and your mind. Right? And it starts off with being still, not looking for acquisition, because he is offering an expression which we need to feel completely in our body-mind, without fuss, I might add. So I would encourage each of you to study water, to become familiar with its essence, because it offers a wonderful teaching about the nature of reality. At the same time, there is an old Zen saying, which which you've heard a million times, but I think it's appropriate here, which is we shouldn't confuse the finger pointing at the moon with the moon itself. That is, the use of metaphoric description can be very helpful in giving us a sense and even a visceral feeling of what the words are seeking to express. In this case, in this talk, form is emptiness and emptiness is form. Water is empty and water is form. And there's no struggle. There's no fuss. It exists at exactly the same time. And then the words exactly at the same time drop away. Just is. So this kind of understanding is helpful, but in some ways it's also limited. And that's why we practice Zazen. And Zazen eventually leads to the direct experience of what the metaphor is pointing to. So we won't know what it is that I'm talking about until it's experienced directly. So let me read to you one of my favorite haiku, which is, "The old pond, a frog jumps in." Let's talk about the homework. I came across an interview with John Daito-Luri. I think most of you know who he is. He's dead now, but he was a Zen master, a Roshi at Zen Mountain Monastery. And he was also a master photographer. And he has a series of three books. One is Making Love with Light. The other is Mountains and Rivers. And I forget what the third one is. But it's his photographs accompanied by either haiku or short Japanese poem. And it's exquisite. I mean, it's heartbreaking in some ways to look through these books. And Daito-Luri also studied with the famous photographer Minor White. And in the interview, he describes how he gives his photography students what he calls a visual koan. Now, we know that a koan is what is an apparently paradoxical question. But in this case, by giving the students this visual koan, it's a request. And the request can only, you're only allowed to resolve it visually. And there's a number of these that he uses with his photography students, but part of the assignment is this koan. And the koan is make love with light. And in this sense, love is intimate. Make love with light. Become intimate with light. His assignment is to photograph the feeling of love that you have for some person, some place, or some thing. Now, a person can be anything. It can be your grandmother. It can be your husband. It can be your dog. It could be the homeless man begging for money in the morning on the way to work. It could be the conductor on the train. And a place can be the park bench you sit on while you wait for a friend to come. There can be feelings of love for each one of these things. The place could be a lake that you like to paddle your canoe in. And a thing could be just about anything, or it is about anything. You know, a garbage can, a door, a car, a stone, a mountain. Now, the subject of the love, the subject, which is what is love, what is you are intimate with, can't be photographed. So if it's your grandmother who has an exquisite face with lines of a lifetime, right, and that just opens your heart, and that's your love, you can't take a picture of your grandmother. So you have to photograph what he calls a metaphor for it. So here are his guidelines. And if you choose to accept the homework assignment, to try this. So here's the list of things that I took from his talk, his interview. So the first one is to go out with any preconceived notion of what you will photograph, which is to empty your mind, right? Don't worry about it. Just go out with your camera or your cell phone, really. You don't have to have a $3,000 camera to do this. A cell phone is fine. The second thing is to go out with the spirit of openness, receptivity, and awareness. You know, so openness is not like this, right? It's like this. You know, you're welcome. It's a welcoming, right? So you're welcoming this inspiration, this metaphor. And then he says, let the subject find you, which means you're not looking for anything. You know, if you're going to walk in the woods, you're just walking in the woods. And let it pop up. Let it be there. So let it find you. Right? We're not searching for anything, just like our practice. We're not searching for enlightenment. Just let it pop up. So when you meet the subject, he says that a resonance begins to happen. An energy between the photographer and the subject. Now that's something that you'll have to name or call it resonance after it happens. Again, you can't look for resonance. Right? We're not looking for anything. We're just being open to see what happens. You know, I guess an example might be, you know, you're in some kind of a meeting, you know, with lots of people. And there's something about the person sitting across from you that draws you to that person. And there's a resonance to that. There's an energy about that, which is really indescribable. So we're looking for that kind of connection. Now, this is an interesting description he provides. He says, wait for permission. Whether it's a rock, a frog, a tree, a pot, a garbage can, it doesn't matter. Wait for permission. And he says, when you get permission, you'll know it. So this is also very similar to Dogen, right? This is about receiving. It's not about figuring anything out. It's not intellectual. It's going out and being open. So the next thing that he points out is that the subject will always be changing. And, you know, if the sun is out, you're walking, say, again through the woods, it creates all sorts of shadows. Rocks, with all their crevices and everything, there'll be shadows there. As soon as the sun goes in, all the shadows are gone. So that's a change. Your vantage point might change. Right? Your legs, you can't picture it. You can see it from standing. But the connection is that you need to squat down. So your vantage point changes when you squat down to take that picture. Sometimes the subject that you connect with is moving, constantly moving. Right? So it's always changing. And then he goes on to say, when the click happens, there is a feeling of completion. Right? There's the click of the camera. And if there's a feeling of completion, like it's okay. Yes, that's it. You feel comfortable with that. Then he says the process is over. This process of going out as a receiver to find an expression of make love with life. That process is over. And then the last thing that we do is to say thank you, bow, and leave. And if you don't get the feeling of completion, then you keep going until that happens. And if it doesn't happen, that's okay too. Because the process is just as important as the picture. So just a couple of things that I would add to this is, remember there's no right or wrong. There's no judgment. Right? Nobody is going to say, well, that's not a very good expression. Or, wow, man, that's really cool. I mean, they could say those things, but that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for good or bad. The other thing I would say, which, and I'm going to do this myself, so this is me talking to myself as well, is to be lighthearted. Be curious. Right? Be curious and lighthearted. Again, that's open. It's not like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to get? Right? So if you do get that tension in your body, that performance anxiety or whatever that might be, you can just close your eyes and breathe. And another thing that goes along with this is, see the homework as play. Be playful with this. Have fun. And you don't have to share this experience with anybody. So again, I would encourage us to be free and to be joyful about it. Be lighthearted. And the other thing, I just thought of this moment, the other thing that you or we might want to do is not during, but after, when you get back, just jot some notes about the experience for yourself. What did you see? In retrospect, right? You're not thinking about doing it at the time you're looking for this photograph to come to you. But once you change the experience and you get home and you're back into form, jot down a couple of notes about your experience. I was going to say any questions, but I'm not going to do that. So we'll send this out with a brief explanation and see what happens. And I will offer the opportunity to anybody who wants to talk about it next week. But again, there's doesn't matter. If you want to talk, cool. If you don't want to talk, that's okay too. Thanks.